It's 9:30. You're listening to KVOO Portland. I'm Lisa Loving. We are going to have a pretty radical conversation right now with Sophia Smallstorm. She's coming to Portland on April 11th, 2:30 p.m. She's going to be speaking at the Friends Meeting House on Beyond Chemtrails is the title of the talk. Sophia, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I would just like to read a little bit from your website. The website is called, I have a lot of notes here, the website aboutthesky.com. Many people have seen lines in the sky, popularly known as chemtrails, and are wondering what they're all about. Is it weather modification, geoengineering, mass mind control, or something even bigger? Sophia Smallstorm, filmmaker of 9/11 Mysteries, has created this new website, aboutthesky.com, to explore the transformation of our blue sky into layers of man-made clouds. What's going on up there? Sophia, what's going on up there?
Well, I don't know that I can answer that briefly, but I certainly can ask people if they've noticed what appear to be planes spraying or leaving these white trails in the sky. They're fairly frequent, I would say almost daily in some cities, but they are actually worldwide. Very heavy in the United States and in Western Europe. And if you notice after a while, you see the thing is people don't really look up very often. They're looking down at their lists, at their cell phones and whatnot. But up in the sky, we are developing these layers of cloudy forms, and yet they're not natural clouds. Think back to your childhood. What did clouds used to look like?
It's amazing, Sophia, because I came to this interview, I came to speaking with you today out of the blue, as they say. And when I went to your website about the sky, which has millions of photographs, I actually stopped and thought about that. Cause, I mean, I grew up many years ago. I'm very, very, very old. And I grew up in California. It was always, sky was always blue, except when it was, you know, smoggy. And the cloud formations that you have so many photos of, endless photos of on your website, it was really thought-provoking because we have on this planet done so many things to the sky, so many things to the atmosphere. And it's true that the work that you've been doing about Beyond Chemtrails, it's got many fibers, as they say, many directions to go in. One of the things I want to make sure we do this morning is start out at the beginning. Because a lot of times when people talk about this, what can become fairly technical conversation, sometimes we start in the middle of the conversation instead of at the very beginning.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about how you came to this issue?
Well, how did I come to the issue? I knew a woman in Los Angeles who was a producer, and she kept telling me she didn't feel well often. And she kept saying, they're spraying again. And I would say to her, what do you mean? What are they spraying? And all she said was chemtrails, and then she would change the subject because we had business to talk about. And so finally in my own head I put it together. Out of my memory I saw these white lines in the sky, and I said to myself, that's what she must be talking about. It happened to be the summertime, and they lay off in the summer, especially in California. It gets to be a lot less. We don't exactly know why. So I said to myself, okay, there's something. There's these white lines. That's what she's talking about. And then the day came when I actually saw them happening, and I saw how they widened and they fattened, these trails that are supposed to disappear within a few seconds. And on my basic facts page of aboutthesky.com, I go very clearly into the real definition of a condensation trail. And this isn't that. This is something else. And these things happen in the sky, and after a few hours they form bigger and bigger masses. They look like cirrus clouds, the cirrus clouds of yesterday, but they're hanging in the sky at low altitudes. And from my memory, my childhood, cirrus was up high and it didn't happen very often. And now I'm noticing we have something that is a man-made cirrus. So the question then becomes, all right, is this the byproduct of something else that's going on? You know, like where we have been cultured to believe that technology exacts from us a price, the price of pollution, the price of chemicals in our, you know, carpets, exuding from our carpets and from the exhaust pipes of cars and whatnot. All right. So the question is this leftover from something, or is this something that is really being done? And when you go to the NASA website and you have a look, you will see that they admit to jet cirrus. Cirrus clouds happening from the tail end of airplanes. Man-made cirrus. They say, oh yes, man-made cirrus, it exists, and these form clouds that hang around as long as 20 hours. Now, how could a condensation trail last for 20 hours? It evaporates in sunlight. It's like your breath on a winter day. You know, you have clouds of breath coming out. Would they stick around? Would they follow you as you walked? Would they envelop you eventually and conceal you from everyone else? That's what's happening in the sky.
Sophia, small storm, let's back up a tiny bit. When you say they lay off the chemtrails in the summer, who is they?
We don't know. You look up, you watch a plane. It leaves this thick trail. The trail sticks around for hours, and then it becomes a cloud. The wind gets into it. It striates with the wind. It fans out. It forms a mass. And after a while, there's no plane left, obviously. People look up, if they happen to, and they say, oh, there's a cool cloud. I've tested people. I've pointed to the sky. I've said, what is that? And they'll tell me, that's a cloud. And I'll say, is a cloud ever in a straight line? And they'll think about it, and they'll go, no. And then they'll say, well, that's a really cool kind of a cloud. So I don't fly planes at 40,000 feet. So someone else is doing that. There's a they involved. You and I are not up there. So somebody, something, some operation is going on involving what looks like fast supersonic jet planes at high altitude leaving these white trails. So rather, I don't know how to name them. So I'm just going to say they. They do it in, you know, here in Southern California, spring and fall and a lot in the winter. And then it doesn't happen as much in the summer. And I've heard those same reports across the country. But I will be talking about this at length and going into the various levels of what appears to be a program. And that will be this Saturday at 2:30 at the Friends Meeting House, 4312 Southeast Stark Street.
Sophia, let's leave that question about who is spraying or who is creating these chemtrails alone for just a second and move on and to look at what are the health effects, what are the concrete ramifications of that. It's interesting when you look at this issue because actually, you know, if you look this up, chemtrails on Wikipedia or something, it's a classic conspiracy theory, and even the language on the Wikipedia page acts like every single concept around the idea of chemtrails is crazy. But when you stop for a second and when I stop and think about all the articles I've read in the New York Times, for example, over the past 5 years about the lingering effects of just airplane traffic, as well as scientific theories that people are spinning to try to figure out how to break through the cloud layer and these layers that are starting to envelop the planet that are making the planet hotter, I've heard many stories about these theories that people have about seeding the cloud cover with different kinds of chemicals and minerals, and in some cases even seeding the ocean with different kinds of substances as well to try to counteract the effect of global warming. And when you start looking at all these stories, there's something about them that hangs together. I mean, again, there's so many things that happen in this country that are unexplained. But can you talk a little bit about what are the health effects against humans that some people question as far as what might be coming out of the sky?
Okay, well, first of all, you have to go one step before that. You have to say, we need to collect material that's falling out of the sky. That would be environmental samples. We're not up in the sky. I can't go to 40,000 feet, hold out a little container, and take a sample. So you have to take environmental samples. And samples of soil and water are being taken all over the country, and they're showing up with extraordinarily high concentrations of metallic salts, aluminum, barium, being the two in particular. Now, barium is a toxin, a neurotoxin. Barium is as bad as arsenic. Aluminum is a neurotoxin. Aluminum, they say, causes Alzheimer's. Now, MIT issued a report that plants are being mutated to grow with aluminum in the soil. They have admitted there is an inordinate amount of aluminum in the soil, and that's toxic to plants. The question isn't being asked, where is it all coming from? But those who have collected environmental samples after heavy days of spraying have taken them to labs and found aluminum, barium, strontium, all kinds of metallic elements in those samples. So now you have to ask, what are the health effects of those substances? And we've noticed that there are, everyone can have evidence of this in their own lives. Respiratory problems are just everywhere. The rate of asthma in toddlers some 10 or 12 years ago in Albuquerque was something like 4% of toddlers. Now it's 70% of toddlers having asthma. And autoimmune disease, joint pain, headache, there are any number of symptoms. And of course, those symptoms can be attributed to other things like environmental hazards. You know, we have so many chemicals. We're navigating through an ocean of chemicals today in this age. But what Clifford Carnicom, he is our scientist par excellence in this field. He was formerly with the Department of Defense. He's in New Mexico. His website is carnicom.com, C-A-R-N-I-C-O-M.com. And he has done sampling airborne materials, and then he's taken actual samplings of people's own skin, blood, and so forth, and looked at the materials in each. And he has found, he's created a flow chart now, that there is a direct parallel between what's coming out of the sky and what's showing up in our bodies. So he can conclude scientifically that, and this, these experiments have been replicated by others, that the stuff coming out of the sky is now entering our bodies. And the consequences of that would be a very long discussion. I will get into that on Saturday at the Friends Meeting House.
We're speaking with Sophia Smallstorm this Saturday. Her talk is going to be called Beyond Chemtrails. That's Saturday, April 11th, 2:30 p.m. at the Friends Meeting House. That's at 43rd and Southeast Stark Street. Sophia is the filmmaker of 911 Mysteries, 9/11 Mysteries, and we're talking about this issue of what's going on in the sky, what's happening with basically chemical pollution that is having actually an array of health effects. Sophia's website, aboutthesky.com, has many photographs of these amazing chemtrail patterns in the sky. Also a lot of links to, as she was saying, carnicom.com, which has more science-based, actually very specifically science-based reports about whatever's going on with these particulate matters that are being released by probably, I guess, airplanes is having an impact on health. So one of the things that I wanted to bring up also, Sophia, was there's a whole array of health effects that you talk about on your website, a whole array of long-term effects. But there was this fascinating section about Morgellons disease. Mm-hmm. And this remarkable report that KATU Channel 2 did about that a couple of years ago, where their health and science reporter was just looking at this outbreak of this illness in, I believe it was the Bay Area and parts of Florida. There were certain hot spots for it. And he interviewed what appeared to be the only scientist that was actually attempting to find out what it was, and a lot of that report was focusing on a Major League Baseball player whose entire family came down with it. Can you talk about that a little bit and the potential impact of possibly nanoparticles being released into the atmosphere?
Morgellons is actually a syndrome. It's not a disease. It's not something that is infectious in the sense like bubonic plague or something. And Billy Koch is the ball player that is interviewed, and it is on the Morgellons page of aboutthesky.com. The YouTube is there. And what is appearing to happen to many, many, many people, ABC TV, NBC, they've all done programs of this, and people are developing extrusions, meaning the appearance of polymer fibers coming out of their skin sores, red oozy sores, and then these fibers that grow out. And in the beginning, it was attempted to pass this off as a kind of delusional parasite-itis, that people are, it's psychosomatic, they just have a rash, and there's lint from their clothes sticking to the rash. But these are not, this isn't lint. People have tried to burn these fibers, and they don't even burn at 1,200 degrees or something. So what's happening to these people? It's a debilitating condition. When you look microscopically at the fibers that are coming out, and then you look at the environmental samples of fibrous materials, you see that it's the same thing. So this becomes a very scary horizon. And my goal isn't to terrify people here. It's to discuss this as a reality. Morgellons is now being admitted. I believe one of the HMOs is studying it. People are not delusional. It's showing up all across the country and perhaps even the world. And what is it all about? What's happening inside people such that fibers are embedding of themselves and then growing out? So I have gotten interested in this subject because it's an ongoing thing. I made a movie about 9/11. 9/11 was many years ago. A lot of people have put it to bed. They're not interested in pursuing it. They want to know, tell me about something that's going on now. And I point to the sky and I say, look at that. Let's talk about that. When you use the term pollution, Lisa, pollution is a very misleading term because we've grown accustomed to pollution. And we consider it a fact of life. It's a reality of our life. It's unavoidable because we're industrial, we're technological, we like cars, we're not going to give up our cars, et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at this, let's just call it this situation of material being dispersed in the sky and forming cloud cover, which now NASA admits is exacerbating global warming, you have to ask yourself, well, is that pollution or is it being done? Is there some kind of agenda? Is there some kind of intention? And the more you educate yourself, the more you start to put the pieces together and you begin to see that this is a deliberate operation, which I may remind you is not being discussed openly or admitted by any governmental agency. Even local officials will deny it and say it's just jet contrails. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. And when you ask, why are the contrails lasting for hours and hours and making an overcast sky every day and blocking sunlight? Let's go back to grade school. The life on this planet comes from the photosynthesis of plants. Plants feed the entire food chain. They make food out of sunlight. NASA admits we've lost 20% of our sunlight. So if you're taking away 20% of the sunlight to the earth, you can imagine, just do the extrapolation, extend that to all life forms. What is going to happen to life forms?
We're speaking live on the phone with Sophia Smallstorm. She is the filmmaker behind 9/11 Mysteries. Her website is aboutthesky.com. She travels to Portland this Saturday at 2:30. That's Saturday, April 11th, speaking at the Friends Meeting House at 43rd and Stark about beyond chemtrails. Sophia, so what we're talking about really is what you're saying, what I hear you saying, is that we're talking about secret government. And what could be the goal of such an operation? I mean, is it just blowback from geoengineering where these scientists are trying to seed the clouds to try to figure out how to get more sunlight on the planet? I want you to go a step further. Just lay it out for me. What could be the point?
Well, remember that everything is engineered. The way we think is engineered. We are being led to believe in this phenomenon called global warming. First, we had an enemy called terrorists. Now we have a bigger enemy called global warming, right? There are 30,000 scientists in the world today who are countering this notion of man-made global warming. So let's add to that little equation that I'm building here, the new term introduced in the wake of global warming, which is climate change. Climate change, climate change. Everywhere we go, we hear about climate change. We're seeing these horrendous storms, droughts, floods, heat, freezing cold. And yet, some of us are learning that there's this thing called weather modification, that they've been able to produce rain. Back in Vietnam, they were making torrential rains to turn the enemy's roads into mud. It's on my website, on the weather modification page. So it was mentioned in the movie Forrest Gump. Then it rained and rained and rained and rained. That was, the Air Force has now admitted. Seymour Hersh, the journalist, exposed that. So they can make weather. And if they're making these cataclysmic storms with, this is HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program in Alaska, is one facility that pulses at the ionosphere and affects weather, creates even weather. So what are they doing to us? They are making us suffer through something called climate change, which they will then produce an antidote for, a solution for. Maybe they'll say to us in the future, have you had enough of these terrible storms induced by global warming and climate change? And everybody will say, yes, yes, terrible, do something, help us. And they'll say, you know what? We can manipulate the weather. Would you like us to come in and do that? And the public will go, yes, why didn't you do it yesterday? We've lost our property. People have had to relocate. There's, our insurance is sky high, et cetera, et cetera. So then they'll come in with weather modification that will have been sanctioned publicly. So this is about creating a problem, waiting for the reaction, and then offering the solution. So perhaps the spraying is going to be presented as a solution to global warming. And we already had that happen yesterday. The Obama administration is now considering spraying, I kid you not, pollution in the sky to deflect the warm rays of the sun.
I now, think he just had a big press conference thing about that. Yeah.
Exactly. But here we are. Are people going to say, yeah, you know, I'd rather not be warm. Just pollute me, please. They're even using the term pollution. This isn't pollution. I mean, it is technically a form of horrible pollution, but it's not pollution. This is a global covert program that has to do with modifying the earth. Geoengineering is defined as the manipulation of the environment to suit human needs, human habitability. When we flex our muscles and we start changing the weather, changing the soil, creating food that grows in toxic soil, what is that all about?
And we've been doing that for a long time. Sophia, the phones are ringing off the hook. We're speaking with Sophia Small Storm. She comes to Portland in person Saturday, April 11th at 2:30 p.m. She's going to be at the Friends Meeting House at 43rd and Southeast Stark. She's going to be speaking about Beyond Chemtrails. And we're going to take a call. By the way, anyone who's listening who's thinking, I don't know what I think about that, you can actually go to the High Frequency Active or Auroral Research Program website, haarp.com. I believe it's a government website. If you go to haarp.net, you're going to find Jeff Begich's really fascinating website also. So let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I really don't understand about these chemtrails. They're chemicals that are being dispersed in the air by who?
We've already talked about that a bit, actually. We've been talking about that for about the past 25 minutes. We're looking at, I don't know, that's the question. Is it the private sector? Is it the government? Is it the government in combination with the private sector? That's the question that people need to be asking. I just had to jump in there because we're starting to run out of show. Anything else?
Well, I was just thinking maybe the UFOs are coming over and, you know, doing all the chemtrails.
Can I just say this about that, Richard? You know that magazine, Popular Mechanics magazine? Every March issue, they have a special issue about which government secret weapons are being tested and how much they look like the most reported UFO phenomena, which I think is fascinating. Popular Mechanics, March 2009. Check it out. Let's go for another.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure, and thanks. Okay, great. Well, the callers are rushing off to work. We're speaking with Sophia Smallstorm. Sophia Smallstorm is going to be speaking in Portland on Saturday, April 11th at 2:30 p.m. at the Friends Meeting House, 4312 Southeast Stark. Do we have Sophia? Okay, we lost Sophia. I'm not going to say anything about conspiracies, the private sector, or the government, but I will say that one of the issues that interests me the most as we are wrapping this up and going on to the next show is this issue of the Chinese government successfully testing a laser-guided missile. That interests me around this issue. And also the New York Times article talking about the big comet that might strike Earth. You know, what is it that people could be doing to people, the private sector, the government in combination with the private corporate sector, to affect some of these things that may be coming up that people really don't want to listen to, they don't want to talk about. So I'm Lisa Loving. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Lisa.
Yes.
Before you go away, Jeff called in, and he said that in the is it the Incan calendar, the Mayan calendar, said at them in the end times that there would be spider webs across. Do you know about this?
I fear so.
The spider webs in the sky?
I believe it.
Well,
thank you. Thank you, Mayan calendar.
I know.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Yes, this is live radio. And show up to see Sophia Small Storm Saturday, April 11th, 2:30 p.m., Friends Meeting House, 4312 Southeast Stark, speaking about Beyond Chemtrails. Go to her website, aboutthesky.com, to look for more information about this. Also, contrailsmyass.com goes to the same website. So stay tuned. It's 9:57. You're listening to KBOO Portland.